if we work 160 to 200 hours a month, it's not crazy to give 1 to 1.5% of our time of thinking and just like regrouping. All right. Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. We got Bruce. We got Steven. We got a Friday.
Happy Friday episode.
Friday episode. A little special, special recording. A couple things that we're talking about today that we're going to dive into. I've just got some random notes and things that I've been building up that I want to be able to share with you. And then, of course, as always, get your thoughts and just some things I've been thinking about. So I don't know how much of it, this one is a tactical thing. This one feels like a little bit more of an episode of thoughts.
Thoughts. Bruce thoughts. Just, yeah. Random, just the boys. Random
thoughts. Boys thoughts. We've got incredible supporters that help put on this episode. And if you guess the first one correctly, email me, bruce@printable.com. I'm going to send you something. Okay, ready? Pull it out of the hat. Drum roll. Brrr. Easy Way. You guess Easy Way, email me. If you're spending hours cleaning screens, that is a thing of the past with Easy Way screen printing and screen cleaning chemicals. Their innovative formulas are designed to work quickly and effectively, so you can spend less time cleaning and more time creating. EasyWay.com, they've got incredible resources. They empower printers. All skill levels are welcome. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Definitely reach out as they can help you succeed in screen printing.
842 is our favorite chemical. Thanks, EasyWay. Bruce, if you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you should hit up GraphicSource. They offer industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo. They're on Slack with you and other shop management softwares when it comes to SEPs, mocks, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service. There's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game, and they really know and understand shop needs. Hit them up. Tell them we sent you. You'll get 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. Thanks so much, GraphicSource.
DGI Apparel. DGI Apparel, it pairs really well with Printavo to be able to help manage your purchasing. So you can add all of the items you need into your cart. It'll suck it out of your Printavo account. Then it pops it all into your either SNS cart, your Sanmar cart, and AlphaBroder cart, and makes purchasing all this stuff really, really simple. Because on their website, you can compare pricing, inventory, ship times across the different suppliers. And the website's really, really fast. Best part is it is free to use. You literally just go to dgiapparel.com and it helps you save so much time on purchasing. It's really cool to see so many shops mention that we just save a lot of time on purchasing. We can go not clean screens and not be at the shop. The Steven challenge. Don't be physically there.
Don't be physically there. And what's cool about DGI Apparel is they just launched with AS Color and Multicraft. You can buy Multicraft supplies on DGI Apparel now. So if you haven't heard of Multicraft underscore daddy, you go to Instagram right now, follow him. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. If you mention the Printavo podcast, you'll receive an extra 10% off your order. As you all know, you can DM Dave. He gives away a case of PMI tape on every episode. So DM him, give him a follow. Thanks so much, PMI tape, for also doing that, and Multicraft for being an incredible sponsor of the podcast. We need more of your dad videos. Thanks so much.
I had this concept that I was thinking about the other day, and that's the amount of hours that we're actively working on something versus the amount of hours that we're strategizing and can step back and think about it. I was watching this video of, I forget what football player, but basically it was their schedule, their day-to-day, week-to-week schedule during the season. And the amount of time that was played was kind of small compared to the amount of time of prep work. I mean, if anyone's ever played, even just, college or high school or just club type sports, the amount of time they were looking at tape, the amount of time they were training, the amount of time they were sitting around a circle, just strategizing. And I was like, why is it so flipped for us as a business owner? As in, why don't we have much time to really sit and think about it? I mean, it seems like I mean, I feel like when I go and take a shower, that's like thinking time because you can't physically be emailing there just yet or checking something or reading through Slack. But if we work 160 to 200 hours a month, it's not crazy to give 1 to 1.5% of our time of thinking and just like regrouping. And so that literally only equals to 3 hours per month. And I know we're really pushing on people in Fabric to be able to do that with their coach, but gosh, I mean, only 3 hours to think. When I was actively running Printavo all the time, definitely didn't spend near that time to be able to think. Even like on a plane, I mean, you're just hustling and you're doing stuff and you're doing stuff. So that was my take 1.5% to sit mantra. Do you think you do did you do that earlier on? Do you do it now? How do you think about that?
Well, maybe we can answer the question, why don't shops spend enough time strategizing?
Because we're action people. We want to pick up the shovel and move forward.
Right. Like, I think a shop owner can resonate with this. They wake up every morning, they see what's in front of them. They have these big lofty ideas. They get to the shop in the morning and the day just runs away from them. They're getting shirts out, they're dealing with customers. They get bogged down into something, they get sidetracked, distracted, and the day goes by and they're like, ah, crap, I didn't do that. And that starts to happen every single day. And so, like, I don't think we prioritize strategic work in our business. Like, it's a priority time. It takes the last position in priorities day in and day out. And that's why I'm so bullish on get out of your shop, because when you're in your shop, you're operating as an operator and an employee. When you're out of your shop, you can think of an owner. You can think like an owner. So I think it's like a distraction thing, right? I think it's also really hard to context shift, like to stop what you're doing and say, okay, now I'm going to shift gears to doing this. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I find it like, if I don't think about when I'm going to strategize, I will not strategize, but like, I have to be in like a clear headspace, prep, and like, you know, have my whiteboard kind of thoughts ready to go. But it's really hard to just switch gears.
Yeah. I think it's even for being around $500,000 a year, if you can take a few hours just to think about, in 6 months, what do I want this business to look like? In 12 months, what do I want this business to look like? Because I think it's hard to think too far long-term out of that, but even that size, what would I like the team to look like? More importantly, what do I want my role to look like? Like, what do I want to be spending time doing? What do I enjoy doing? What do I not enjoy doing? And trying to be a little bit more proactive about it. I mean, I don't think that I spent that time to do that and therefore got stuck in the repetitive, you know, support thing, customer service things that never allowed me to level up.
Because you were like solo on an island by yourself.
Right.
It's so hard to do alone. It is so hard to do alone because it's like discipline, right? And so like for those shops that are, you know, under $1 million, maybe one to 2 million, a lot of times they don't have leadership in place to think big picture. And without leaders in place, there's no accountability. And so like, okay, for instance, at Campus Inc., now that we're professionalized, I have a leadership and strategy call every Wednesday at noon with about 12 or 13 people. And then every Friday with 4 people every single week. We do not miss a week. And then every quarter we have our 4-hour traction meeting that we do. It's easy for me to go big picture and think strategy because I am accountable to my leadership team and accountable to the team. And like, it's part of a routine. But if you only have, you know, maybe your production manager, it's kind of hard to do. Like, you're by yourself. There's no accountability to it.
I have to say that, and we talk about AI more, but ChatGPT has been really, really good. If you pay for the $20 a month plan, it's been really good to ask these types of questions to it. So whether you're feeling stuck or you're feeling like you're kind of in a washing machine, just repeating the same stuff and unsure what your maybe North Star is or what things should look like in a year, to ask it, tell it about your situation, where you're at, and ask it, and even ask like, what are the questions I should ask myself about this? It's been really, really good for that kind of thing. Second thing I wanted to share, and we'll drop the link in the description, is this older Harvard Business Review article about the 5 stages of business growth. If you're watching via YouTube, this is probably better just because you can see it, because I'm going to share it. So these 5 stages, when I read through this, I was like, whoa, they distilled down the way that I felt as we continued to hop through the different steps. So you've got stage 1 starting at just existence, really maybe 1 to 3 people. And at the very end, you've got stage 5, and that's called line and staff. And there's tends to be management, middle management, and then, you know, it continues down from there. People continue to grow and they start at existence, which is where everyone reports to the owner. The business and the business owner. I really like this chart at the bottom. If you're on the audio, you know, basically it's a one big circle, which is the business. And then inside that big circle is a smaller circle, is the owner. And over time, as he gets to stage 5, the owner circle starts to move outside of the big circle, which is the business. And it's like a Venn diagram. It's like maybe half and half. But you go from existence to survival, to maintaining profitable status quo, to getting resources for growth, full growth mode, and then having a return on investment and being a more mature business. Now I'm going to flip to the other page of this that I really like, because it shows more visually how the age of the organization and as the size of the business grows, the different stages that you may feel. So there's the sort of crisis of leadership, they call it, then being more of an autonomous company, then having enough control and or not control, then later as the company gets a lot bigger, which I don't think most folks are at, and we're not at, as crisis of red tape and so on. So, but at the bottom of this line, it shows what you need to do to get to the next step. So first, people start at growth through creativity. And I think that's where we all started and got interested in it, right? It's like, you know, it's a brand, it's retail, it's music, it's, sports, it's whatever it is. And you're creative with that and you started making it. Then you start directing because you are the leader. You turned into the business owner and you started leading. Then you are the only person really doing everything and you need help. So what do you do to be able to grow to the next stage? You grow through delegation. You have the next 2 people, 3 people, 10 people, and you're able to delegate. Then you have what's called their crisis of control, which is everything is scattered. People aren't on the same page. Managers aren't rolling in the same direction as you wanted. And so you have to coordinate. And I think Traction is incredibly good. Fabric has been a great group to work with EOS coaches that way too. But you coordinate the teams and they start working together at the same time. And I'm not going to go any further than that, because I think that's where, you know, 95% of us are at. But I love this visual, because when I read this, I was like, oh my gosh, someone documented the way that you feel through these different stages and years of working in the business. So I highly click on it. It's kind of a longer article, but it's really, really worth the time to spend and just digest.
Bruce, what do you think are some tips? So what's interesting here is it says age of organization. And what I find when I talk to a lot of shops is they might be 10 years in and still stuck on like 1 and 2. Right? They've grown the business to $500,000 or $1 million. They're just kind of paddling and treading water, and they think they know what the next step is, or they don't know. Like, what are the things that shops can do today to get from step 1, kind of the 2 to 3, like I think it was crisis of leadership to crisis of direction? And if you're you're struggling with it, you know, it's a disease, right? How do you actually do it?
There's a great book called Buy Back Your Time. And I think Ross at Rock mentioned another book you like as well, E-Myth. I haven't read that one, but the Buy Back Your Time I have. And the principle is really simple. It was what the task that you're doing, if the task you set, first of all, and I think Mike Michalowicz at Profit first talked about this, but you set your hourly rate. Let's say your hourly rate is $100,000 a year. So that's $50 an hour. If you are performing a task that's taking a big chunk of your time that you could pay someone less than $50 an hour. I said 100K a year, $50 an hour. You could pay someone less than $50 an hour, hire for that role. Because you're doing things that are worth less in value than you should be spending on the time. And that is honestly the simplest way that I started thinking about it and helped be able to, okay, so this is a task and boom, you've got that. You can move it over. And we've talked about it before, but you like saying it's the printing. I mean, most of the time it's there and the best time spent is on the sales.
So I use this quote a lot, when I feel like our team is beating a dead horse and doing the same thing and we're not getting the results we want. And I think it's either Rita Brown or Albert Einstein, but they say doing the same thing and expecting different results is insanity. Doing the same thing and expecting different results is insanity. And so I believe the number one thing that a business owner can do, if they continue doing the same things and are getting the same results and are going insane, is to get help. Like, find someone, find a coach, right? I'll shamelessly plug Fabric, join Fabric, right? Do EOS, join a business group, get a support group. Like, you have to find help to get you there to the next level, because it's not working alone. And you're staring down the barrel of a gun and saying, like, this is my future if I can't change it. And so when I talk to shops that have kind of broken out of those different ranges, whether it's the 3 million to the 5 million, the fives to the seven, we're talking the barrel makers, the Oklahoma shirt companies, the printed threads, the Stokedons, the family industries, right? The real threads. There were pivotal inflection points in every one of their businesses. And a lot of time they'll attribute to, you know, we had a key hire, or, you know, some people are part of like Vistage or something like that, where they were able to retract, think through, and take a different approach and actually execute on it. And I truly think, like, it is one of the biggest regrets I have is that I tried to do it alone for so long. And the second I realized, like, I need help and I'm not going to be able to do this, that's when I was held accountable to something else. And then my business really started to grow. Go get help.
Couldn't agree more. That leads me perfectly segued into my next little link find thing. So someone asked this question online that I thought was great. It said, any advice you give to a shop facing their first busy season? And I think this actually applies for any busy season, but sure, first busy season. And there were five different points that I pulled out that I think were really great. Maybe you've got some other ones too to add on. The first one that was powerful was be very aware of bottlenecks that happen. So they talked about, you're going to see things that break or that slow down or that aren't working super well when you're shoving in a ton of flow through your existing process. And so write those things down. You're probably in hair on fire mode, but take note of those, write them down, put it in a notes doc on your phone, whatever it is. Things like, are screens being burned a bottleneck? Are SEPs not ready, right? Do you not have enough time to print? Do you need some sort of equipment upgrade? Are you the bottleneck? I thought that was pretty cool. Like, for example, from a customer service or a sales perspective, like, are you not being able to get back to customers? Are people waiting for your approval? Are you not able to process intake of inbound orders, right? Take note of all of those and be very, very self-aware of that, and then be able to go back later and fix it. The other thing someone said was learn when to say no. Learn if you do need to adjust minimums or pricing. A great one too here is financial management. You know, I think it's easy to have cash coming in and say, great, let's reinvest this. Let's put this into equipment. Let's, you know, expand this or that. But again, there's great periods and there's slow periods. And so making sure to financially manage that, especially in a Jan or Feb period. Someone also said not pizza, bonuses instead. I thought that was good. Although I always love free pizza coming in, but bonuses, words of affirmation, thanking people, those do go a long, long way. We take that for granted. And then the last one I saw was go to the liquor store. I like that.
Put an asterisk by that one. I think the in all those points you said, when the kitchen is really hot, we tend to make very emotional, irrational decisions. And sometimes those decisions are super costly down the road. And I think that point that you said is, you know, when you're busy and there's money flowing through the shop and you're getting receivables and all the, because for a lot of shops, busy season's about to kick and summers are super crazy. Don't operate your company as if your business always is in busy season, right? And so like, don't go out and just buy another press or like, I'm going to buy four more heat presses or like, now I'm going to buy my DTF machine, right? Find other resources to help you out. And so if you're facing your first busy season, get in touch with a couple contract decorators that can help your overflow, right? Start utilizing different services to order transfers in, right? And never stop prioritizing sales. Because I think a lot of times when we get super busy, right, we're going to raise prices, but and we might say no to some customers, but we stop picking up the phones. Or we start pushing customers out 2 or 3 weeks when we're normally 7 days, right? Or our customer success person is in the back folding shirts and not answering emails anymore, right? And what you need to understand is like, you're going to have those high periods and you're going to have those slow periods. You should try to operate your business at a consistent heart rate through those different peaks and valleys that is actually sustainable. So those would be my couple of things.
I like it.
I like this. I saw a really cool LinkedIn post. And if anyone's not on LinkedIn, that's like the best business advice. You can follow a lot of really good business owners. Like one of a couple of my favorite follows are the guy that runs Savannah Bananas. He's hilarious. The guy in the yellow hat.
He was just on 60 Minutes, by the way, if you want to dive in.
More. And I really like the guy from Dude Wipes. He bootstrapped his company, grew it. He's really like, just really, really great to follow. There's a lot of great entrepreneurs you can follow. LinkedIn, for me, is one of the best places to find that. Yeah. I saw this post that says building a customer success program, and it said, be unique. It's too easy to build a vanilla customer success program. And even if you don't think yours is vanilla, it probably is. Because vanilla is the default state. Vanilla is safe. It's comfortable. It's going to get approved and it's easy. Vanilla sends standard check-in emails, right? Vanilla just follows industry playbooks without really questioning them. But like, if you could think about what customer success or marketing, like what feels scary and what feels uncomfortable might actually drive transformational value, right? And so like, if we think about our print shop, what are the extra things we can do for our customers that are completely different than the rest of the industry that kind of give that like 11-star experience, right? And so, you know, for instance, our best customers get invited into Slack with us because we don't want them to email us. We want to be on their team and we want them to message us orders. And so like our 11 top customers and we manage their national brands, their marketing team is in Slack.
They're not all together. They're like just with their account rep on Slack.
Yep. Yep. And it's cool because then they're like talking back and forth and like they're friends and they're not going to leave, right? Because they're truly like cemented and ingrained. And so it's like, how do you take that next step and make them feel more like a partner? The other thing is like direct mail. Right. We might we have someone in Fabric, Doug, what's his last name? Douglas.
Doug S.
Yeah. Doug S. And, you know, he runs a direct, half his company is actually direct mail and there's a strategy behind it. But I saw this post about chunky mail. Like, what if you sent out, you know, a shirt in a FedEx envelope to 100 people in your town? Right? Like no one else is doing those kind of things. And like you have to find ways to be uniquely different in your success strategy, whether it's activations, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be. Did you see Proper Print Shop yesterday on Instagram? Their partner,
T-shirt cannon thing? It was a t-shirt golf cart cannon.
There was an electric golf cart with a t-shirt cannon on it. And, you know, Alan at Proper Print Shop, like, I love the way he's thinking about this, but I don't know if he bought this or not. But like, that creates buzz and hype, and maybe you will pay for a t-shirt cannon for high schools if they buy all your stuff from you. I don't know. Just thinking about different ways that you can create success and value and when you're working with your customers, and actually putting that to play. Because those are some of the most unique and interesting things that you can do in your business, and genuinely fun.
I found also allowing account managers or anyone that's order taking business to be, you know, just someone that's helping in the front office, allowing them to, and encouraging to send gifts. So, hey, look, anything under, I don't know, $50, $100, feel free. Like, it comes up, someone mentions something, just send something. Someone just, hey, sorry, I just got out, we had a baby, blah, 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 send something. Just got married, send something. Oh, I miss being in whatever city. Send, you know, it's just like all that stuff. That is the easiest, I find, personal touch. I really, really like the Slack connection, because you're right, that elevates it. Like, going above email, one level up, is really special. It's like when the hotels will get you on WhatsApp, and then, you know, you can message someone directly. It's a special experience.
A really good book on customer success is called Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh. He was the founder of Zappos, unfortunately passed away, but Amazon purchased Zappos simply because of their customer success strategy, free returns and exchanges for shoes. And a lot of what he talks about was empowering his team, as Bruce mentioned, to do funny things. So like ordering them pizza. Like, order a random customer a pizza. What? You know, figure out what their favorite anything is, and just finding weird ways to deliver happiness aside from handling their support ticket.
My big takeaway from that book, I really, really like that book, is he said treat customer service not like a cost center. He says a lot of companies will, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, we have to add another person that's answering emails or handling returns or whatever it is. He said treat it as a part of the marketing team. So any experience with the marketing team will be positive. That could help drive retention, that could help drive new customers, that could help drive referrals. And if you think about it like that, then it flips your mentality about being more proactive than being reactive with the experience. So that is a great book and great mention. All right, Pronouncers, we appreciate you guys joining us for our little Friday rant. It's either I call you and we do this, or we do it over Zoom here. So thanks, guys. Have an awesome weekend. We will see you guys on the next episode. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.